All right, come on. It's been a couple of years of this. You know the drill. We say naughty words. Enjoy the show.
So no head.
Welcome to the Just Plain Filthy Podcast. I'm Case Campbell.
I'm TJ Vegas, and today we have a pretty good show for you. We haven't done anything since we all got together for New Japan, so of course we're going to talk a little bit about that. Not too in-depth, because it was like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, I love New Japan. That
pay-per-view was a pretty solid show, dude. I really like that.
That premium live event was really awesome.
Premium live event. And then we also have a lot of music that recently came out that we're very excited for.
Yeah.
So, like, with the songs that came out recently, we can only imagine how good the albums are going to be. We're going to dive into that a little bit.
Yeah.
And we have a discussion topic. One thing we're going to try to do going forward is have a main focus point to end every episode with. It doesn't have to be about wrestling. Doesn't have to be about music. It can be about literally whatever we feel we could have a decent discussion about.
Yeah.
So, getting into it right off the bat, New Japan Wrestle Kingdom 17.
Shit was hell of a show. Wild.
It's awesome. It was long as fuck.
It was long as fuck. But it was good. It was really, really good. And, I don't know. It's good every year. I don't know why everybody keeps what were you expecting? Wrestle Kingdom is good every year consistently.
I feel like every year they put something else on the show that intrigues people who didn't previously watch New Japan check it out, which will in turn just give a big influx of, wow, New Japan delivers. Wrestle Kingdom was really good. Event of the year. But the people who have watched it, you, me, Devin, Will, everybody, we're all like, oh, that was a good show. They just don't miss on Wrestle Kingdom.
No, absolutely not.
This year, we had Jay White and Okada, which was good.
Fantastic.
We had Ospreay versus the returning Omega, which is being dubbed
stars.
As one of the best matches ever.
78
and
songs.
we had the appearance of Sasha Banks, a.k.a. Mercedes Moné.
Money.
It was a cool thing, though it didn't go across the way that they initially planned. It was still cool.
Kari should have gone right.
What are some things on there that you particularly liked?
I liked the Joshi match.
That was rather good.
Very much enjoyed that. I liked the six-man for Muda.
I was surprised about that.
Like, man, she's always
you think Muda, you're like, oh, at his age, they're just going to let him play the hits and then quick tags out to protect him. He did a lot.
Muda worked in that match more than Cena worked in his match at the end of 2022.
Yeah.
Like, goddamn. Speaking of, I would love to see that match.
Muda versus Cena?
Yeah.
I don't know in what context that would ever work out, but I mean, if that ever happened, I'd watch it.
Oh yeah, whether it's Kaiji Muto or the Great Muda, I feel like he could put on a banger with Cena. I mean, anybody could put on a banger with Cena, but
yeah, true. Cena's an everyman. He knows how to do pretty much every job.
Yeah.
But then we got the match that everybody is clamoring for.
Oh, yeah.
And they're talking Omega Ospreay. And yeah. I think it's a great match. It did what it needed to do. I have only two grievances. Whole thing.
What?
And they're both kind of the same thing. It kind of one goes into the other. To make the V trigger a big deal, I really don't like that he hits it like 20 times a match.
I mean, it doesn't really bug me because it's not his finish, but I don't know. I needed a head. If you hit that once and the guy doesn't go down, hit him with it again.
I think three should be the limit, but he hit him with like 10 of them, which also delayed the match like really far. And like, I get it, New Japan, big stakes match, needs to be kind of long, but it didn't need to be kind of long. That was like a 30-minute match or so, and it could have easily been like 20, 25 with everything still intact, and it would have just been perfect.
I mean, yeah, I get that.
Give me like 5 less V triggers and maybe like a couple less minutes of the match, so then it didn't seem so drawn out. And I will agree with it that that would be probably the best match ever.
I mean, I'm not saying it's the best match ever, but I don't know. Move repetition has never really bothered me. I get from a psychology standpoint, it's not a good thing to do. But I don't know. It didn't bother. I didn't notice it as much, I guess.
I was just like, oh, hit him with a V trigger. Oh, shit. That's definitely going to set up for something. And then 5 minutes later, it's like, oh, we're still going.
So he hits him with
another one, and then he hits them with another one, and then he hits them with a false finish. And 3 more V triggers, and then he hits the finisher, and I'm like, "Fuck, bro, hit 3 of them. If it doesn't do the job, move on from that, please."
If it's Kenny Omega in Japan, if he's not hitting like 8 V triggers, it's not a Kenny Omega match.
John Cena, I hit him with the FU 6 times. What's it gonna take? A seventh
FU. I mean, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of got the same vibe, not as badly, but the same vibe from the J.Y. Okada match. And I know it's pretty much the same thing with every J.Y. or Okada match. They're going to hit their big things, they're going to hit their finisher, but they always hit their finisher a shit ton of times. Yeah. And it's kind of like, bro.
I mean, I don't remember them hitting their finishers all that much.
I saw, like, 2 like literal rainmakers, one that was essentially a rainmaker, but he just didn't have like the taunt before it. Mm-hmm. And then I see Jay White hit his move like twice and then go for it a bunch of times. And then I'm like, come on, bro. Just, it's making it seem less special. And I'm like, now when you hit it on anybody else, it's just going to be like, yeah, that's cool, but it took you 4 of them last match to do anything.
Well, between his move and Destination Unknown and Sister Abigail, one of y'all are gonna have to change. I'm just gonna say it. Like,
I think Destination Unknown needs to change because, like, that was a new thing that she decided to do. Yeah. And it was like, you already had, like, the detonation kick. So, like,
I didn't mind it as much when Bray wasn't on TV. But he's back on TV. Yeah, so.
Now you got too many people in the spotlight doing the same move.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, but what makes yours special?
Exactly.
If you did it onto the thumbtacks like you did on Rampage, Ruby, then it's a good move,
but
consistently hitting it on regular ass mats and stuff, I don't see it any different than anybody else.
Also, that match was great transitioning.
I did want to talk about that, but I forgot to put it in the whole breakdown of everything. Mm. That match is getting so much hate just because people are uncomfortable with it. And women, it's like, okay, you've watched like 40 years of dudes bleeding every place, and like with literal no storytelling, this gives you like 7 months of storytelling, real life drama, and you're featuring people that you wanted featured on your product. We're giving you all of that, and then you're still gonna complain because, wah, women shouldn't fucking bleed.
Wrestling fans are fickle, and I hate them.
Fickle Rick!
Fickle Rick, bitch.
And we're not diving into this, but fuck Justin Roiland.
Yeah,
okay, on to the next one. I just did that because it's a funny name, but I don't endorse it.
No, fuck that. Fuck that guy.
But yeah, that match was good. People were like, why isn't the referee checking on Ruby? Well, it's two reasons, buddy. Number one, you're looking at a picture. Yes. Pictures don't move. Exactly. Number two, it's a death match, essentially. You know how much blood people lose in death matches before the referee stops it?
When the fuck? When the fuck has Disco Inferno ever had a valid opinion about anything? Ever?
It wasn't even him. It was also Scott Armstrong.
Scott Armstrong? Bro.
He's the one that was like, why isn't she checking on him? And then like a bunch of people were like, Scott, you're looking at a picture.
Dumbass.
And I cackled. I was like, if this is literally, he was like, why isn't she checking on him? It's like, did you watch the match? Because literally like 3 seconds after this happened, after everybody was down, Aubrey Edwards walked over and checked it. It's kind of hard for you to check out somebody when other things are going on in the ring that you might have to count your 1, 2, 3, 4.
It's a man's world, baby.
Yeah, that's why all the good wrestling right now is in fucking Joshi land. That totally explains it.
Yeah.
TJPW, Stardom, Ice Ribbon, Pro Wrestling Wave dominating this shit. Nah, like, ladies can't wrestle. Ladies can't tell stories.
No. No, definitely not. Men. It's all about men. But no, that match was really good. I enjoyed the tribute to the Dudleys. That attire is legendary, iconic.
Yeah. Also, last little wrestling thing before we kind of transition a little bit. Sad news in the world of wrestling.
Yeah, we should open the show with this, shouldn't we?
We should have, but I figured, I'm like, yeah, instead of going back and scratching everything, let's just make sure we mention it.
Yeah.
Jay Briscoe
passed away.
R.I.P. I guess it was Tuesday night.
Yep.
About 5:30 our time, a car crash happened. Apparently. I don't know all the specifics. I don't want to dive into it. It's not my business.
Sad.
Just sad. But apparently it was Jay Briscoe and his two daughters had a head-on collision with another car. Both of the drivers of respective cars passed away.
That sucks.
And the daughters, one, it needed surgery, but is rumored to be okay. The other one, people are saying she is possibly paralyzed. She's having a hard time walking. They don't know if it's a thing going forward or if it's just injuries that are making it so she can't walk right now. It's so sad. And the fact that all this happened just the day before Mark's birthday.
That's super sad.
So much sympathy for Mark and their family. I really hope everything gets as good as it can be. I'm not going to say better because it's really hard to move on from that. It's really tough.
I hope
things get more positive in the coming weeks, months, years.
Yeah.
And you guys find a way to, you know,
buy Dem Boys merch. Watch the Jay Briscoe tribute show that's going to come out on the club and YouTube when that drops. Do that. Other than that, rest in peace, Jay Briscoe. Hashtag them boys.
Not much anybody's saying besides, like, really cool guy. And, like, other than, like, Brody Lee, you don't get that too often. Like, everyone was like, man, he's controversial. I don't like it because of statements. Literally everybody's coming out saying, like, he's been nothing but kind to me. He is one hell of a man, an amazing father.
If Effie says you're like cool, you're
the,
cool.
The guy.
That's what I said.
Yeah. If Effie is cool with him, and also Sonny Kiss is cool with him,
yeah.
And Pollo Del Mar is cool with him, and all these other people in the community, they're cool with how Jay, like, made amends. Proved himself to be sorry, how much he changed and everything like that.
It was literally
fucking take it too.
He apologized the next night and he said that was the character of Jay Briscoe and not the man, Jay Pugh. Like,
yeah. So
it's a non-issue. And Warner Discovery,
if the people who are directly affected by it are not taking it to heart and accepting the apology, I think y'all should too.
Exactly. Rest in peace. Dynamite was good.
Dynamite was awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't catch the first match because I was still making dinner. I'm kind of mad at myself. I might have to go back and watch that. But literally every other match on that show delivered.
Oh, it was pretty good. Top Flight versus Dumbbox. Like,
that was great.
Good storytelling on both sides. There was a couple times where I couldn't even tell, like, if... Like, I thought Nick Jackson was legitimately hurt at one point in that match. Good storytelling.
Nick Jackson had a broken toe that match.
Oh, really? I didn't know.
He wrestled the entire thing with a broken toe.
Jesus. He wrestled Top Flight with a broken freaking toe. That's funny.
Kurt Angle up in this bitch. I wrestled this team with a broken freaking toe!
Oh, that's so funny, actually, now that I think about it. But Danielson versus Bandido also delivered.
That was also, like, possibly match of the year candidate so far.
Yeah, candidate of it. I need to ask these people that are coming into AEW to stop dropping Danielson on his fucking head, please. Takeshita last week with that scary looking pile driver, and then this week Bandido did something. I don't remember exactly what it was, but it looked nasty, and I was like, ah!
MJF just out here giving people hundos and being like, you know what to do, and they check and look in the light, see if it's real, and go, I'm gonna end this whole man's career.
Well, I saw a movie took on Wednesday that looked like it legitimately hurt his arm. So when MJF went up to Brian Cage and was like, break his fucking arm. He goes like, oh,
put him
no.
in a body bag.
Oh no, Brian's hurt.
I hope
that's not the case. But we'll see what happens on Rampage.
Seal the deal at the end of the night. Fucking Darby Allin versus Kushida was way better than it had any right to be.
Beautiful.
I didn't have too much in like hope with that match. I was like, they're easily, they can do it. They can have a great match.
Yeah.
Did I think it was going to go as hard as it did? No, I did not. That jump from the top rope to the outside where he gets caught in the arm bar, I literally was like,
peace down there, it's sauce. That shit was awesome. Like, I will gift that shit forever. But no, I knew it was going to be a banger the second they started showing video of Kushida tapping out Cody Rhodes. Beef's still there. But no, it was going to be a banger. Start to finish was a banger. I don't know what's going to happen on Rampage tonight, but I'm excited. I like wrestling.
Yeah, I'm going to try to watch that tonight, but I have like, I have so many things that I have to watch still. I have two events coming up in the next couple days that I need to watch.
I usually watch SmackDown into Rampage. We'll see if that's the case tonight. Because the E has still been good. And I am so fearful that it's just going to be a rapid decline.
there's two events I'm trying to go back and watch. Which, also, cheap plug right here for me, so. I'm going to be talking about these two events and another event in detail. The next Indie Movement podcast episode, we are talking about hoss fights. Big dudes beating the shit out of each other.
Oh, I love big dudes beating the shit out of each other.
One of them that I'm talking about is Gnarls Garvin versus Mad Dog McConnelly. And the other one is Anthony Lee versus Justin Kyle.
Oh, we'd love to see it.
So I'm going to be talking about those. Just a little plug in there. But I have to go back and watch those events in full. And there's another one that I was told was one of the greatest hoss fights of the independents that I need to go and try to find out. I have those. Plus, I have a Triangle Derby Night 6. I've watched all the other nights so far. It's all been good. Triangle Derby night 6 I have on my phone. Then tomorrow night is Prestige Wrestling Vendetta.
Oh shit, that's tomorrow?
Yeah, and then Sunday, Sunday morning is Pro Wrestling Noah's Bye Bye Muda.
Bye bye.
And I already have that ordered, so I can just watch it as soon as I wake up.
All right, thank you. Bye bye. Yeah, no, good wrestling coming up.
Wrestling is on fire.
I watched Heavy Lies the Crown over the weekend from Beyond Wrestling. A couple homies on that. I watched the latest episode of West Coast Wrestling. I enjoyed that. A little bit of Limitless, a little bit of Prestige.
So, Casey, you had a take in the group chat.
Uh-huh.
I want you to say it on this.
Yeah. What was the take?
It's about the West Coast.
Oh yeah, no. East Coast, in terms of work rate, the East Coast trumps the West Coast. From what I've seen. I'm sorry. I know I'm probably gonna piss off Brittany Wonder with this. But
East Coast. West Coast is very give or take. It's give or take.
I mean, entertaining. It is very entertaining, but in terms of work rate, and just how the work looks to me, East Coast is more snug. Like, my dad really enjoyed watching Beyond and Prestige, and he hasn't enjoyed wrestling in years since the 80s, since, you know, they ran shows at the Houston Coliseum.
Oh, so your dad might be a fan of indies.
Oh yeah, no. His friend's brother was Hercules Hernandez.
Oh
yeah,
throwback.
Way throwback. So he was always at Houston Wrestling back in the day, and so he watched Beyond, and he was like, "Wow, that was actually really good." And I was like, "Yeah, yeah." And then I watched West Coast Wrestling the next day, and I was like, this shit looks fake.
Yeah. As I said in the group chat when you made that take, and I was like, with the West Coast, it's like they have their hitters.
Yeah.
They have their guys who are the top of the top.
Exactly.
And those guys will always deliver good matches no matter where they go or who they work with. But it's real hit or miss with everybody other than them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you're going to have a good event depending on how many of these big time hitters are on your show. And then sometimes it's not going to look as crisp as other promotions.
Exactly.
East Coast has a lot of people who are that middle ground who can hold a good show, hold a good match. It won't be anything spectacular, but it won't be bad. Then you have a good amount of the hitters like West Coast and not a lot of people that perform at a very low rate. So you have more great shows.
Yeah.
In comparison.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that a lot of the West Coast workers' shit looks like shit. I'm just saying work a little snugger. Just a little bit.
Also, I've realized that for a lot of people and a lot of companies, the West Coast is pretty much separated. It's like in its own little box. I would love to see the West Coast promotions kind of branch out and work together more, like how the East Coast does.
Tell that to Alex Price. Like, he's everywhere.
I know. He's everywhere.
He's got to back coast to coast. He did this.
He's working. He has a couple matches in MLW right now, too.
Yeah, because I watched Heavy Lies of Crown, that was from, what, the 31st? And then that West Coast Wrestling was January 6th. So, that's a week. And then but he was on like, Beyond and Prestige in between,
Yeah, on the East Coast, you got Beyond, that works with Wrestling Open, and works with Pro Wrestling Grind, and Pro Wrestling Grind works really closely with Limitless, and Limitless and Beyond Wrestling trade off with people who are at Chaotic.
Of course.
And then it goes all the way down to action wrestling and sup graps and Scenic City Invitational and all that mm-hmm. stuff. But West Coast, every territory is super territorial. They're like,
yeah, I think
you're not getting our talent. We're not working together. If you work with them, you can't work with us. And I feel like that really puts people in a box because they can't make their names, like, bigger.
Yeah,
they
you're
can't
also
travel
not,
as much.
Yeah, you're also not picking up other things from working with other people.
Exactly. Like, so I think that if there was a reason for your take, if other people feel like that, I feel like that's a very good indication as to why it seems like that.
I mean,
because they can't apply
reason.
Their craft to many more people and travel as much.
Like, I don't have that much experience, but the experience I do have, I watch wrestling completely differently now.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, I guess I have a more critical eye now. And I like I'm saying, I don't have a ton of experience, but it definitely changes the way you watch it.
Yeah.
And I can tell... Something's different. One of these things is not like the other. Like,
that just reminds me of the thing. I think it was from Robot Chicken or something. It's like, one of these kids is not like the other. One of these kids are dead, and
yep.
It's just like a corpse in the corner.
Oh yeah, no, I it's funny. I called a spot when we were watching Beyond with my dad. I was like, all right. So, he's launching him off the ropes. He's going to duck down, leapfrog, and hit him with a knee. That's exactly what fucking happened. My dad was like, you know, what the fuck? And I was like, spoilers, I don't know. Like,
I don't mean to make plans on the podcast while we're on the podcast, but if you need, I need to show you that Mad Dog versus Gnarls Garvin event.
Oh, please do.
So, I think I'm going to have it in my ad... add to watch list thing on IWTV, so you can check that out whenever you have a second.
Oh, please do. I'm looking for more wrestling to watch. I've been watching, I'm trying to watch a lot of local shit as much as I can.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'll check out every indie promotion I can, but I want to get the locals. I want to get...
A lot of things that we've been doing lately, though, as well as checking out wrestling, is we've been checking out a lot of new music.
Yeah, there's
and
some
the
shit
new music that's
out.
Been coming out this month alone has blown my mind. Can we talk about Sleep Token?
I just discovered this band. I've been sleeping on this band, man.
I found out about
so
them last year as a part of the Twitch stream
Horny
for Bands That
Core.
Slap. Mike was like, have you heard of Sleep Token? And I went, I have no idea what that is. He's like, it's kind of metal, it's kind of not, but it's also like five other things. Just listen to it.
Yeah.
And I'm listening to it, and I was like, this is a vibe. And then it kicks up, and I was like, ooh, okay. So I listened to that album, the one from 2021, mm-hmm. and I really enjoyed it. And then just this month alone, they released three songs. They released Granite,
yeah.
The Summoning, and
so
Chokehold.
Oh.
And Chokehold's really good. The Summoning has the funkiest ending to any metal song I've ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
Then Granite came out, and I've listened to that 6 times yesterday alone.
I listened to it like 10 times. It was so good.
Yeah.
I don't know. This album's gonna fucking slap, dog. Like, it's filling a void. That I've had since all that issue shit went down. Don't get me wrong, that instrumental album is fantastic, but, like, this is hitting the spot, that spot in my heart that I needed filled. We needed more good horny core up in this bitch. R&B.
Just people boning in the mosh pit.
R&B metal is what we need more of. It's an evolution. I'm in a gent group, and... Half the group is like, oh, Sleep Token is the best thing I've ever heard. And half of them are like, this is the fucking worst. I'm like, evolve or die, motherfucker. Like, this is what we're doing now. Like,
yeah, because not only did they drop some new music that has everybody talking, at least in our group chat, Fallout Boy just dropped something.
Yeah, and that shit sounds like Fallout Boy.
And we were all about it. Immediately, Zoe and I were like on it. And then afterwards, you were like, "Oh, I need to check this out now that I'm free." And you were like, "Fuck yeah!" And then Devin and my wife go check it out, and they're like, "Bruh!" And we're all like, "Yo, there's instruments."
I love it. I love that it sounds like Fall Out Boy. Like, don't get me wrong, I love Save Rock and Roll. It's probably one of my favorite Fall Out Boy albums. American Beauty, American Psycho, they kind of lost me a little bit. And then the last one, I was like, nah, this ain't it, Chief. But
yeah, I can vibe with all of them except for that last one. When your music just makes it sound like everything was done on a keyboard, I don't really care.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
it loses its charm.
They went too far in the direction they were going, and now they circled back. And I love it. I love it a lot. So
I feel like with the rumors of this being their last thing, I think that's... Is it confirmed?
No, not yet.
Okay. Well, there's rumors. And if there's any truth to the rumors, I think they just want to encapsulate their whole entire run as a whole and just find a way to just encapsulate everything to just be like, if there's any representation on any of our stuff that is Fall Out Boy... We want this to be our last hurrah.
Yeah, you want
this album in its entirety is Fall Out Boy.
Exactly. If you're gonna go out, playing the hits, but the hits are new.
He doesn't seem as much mumble rap as he normally does, and I appreciate that too.
Oh, beautiful! It's great.
Because normally it's like, oh, your singing is pretty, but I have no fucking clue what you're saying.
I think that gets played up way too much. I know exactly what he's saying.
Well, for the most part I do, but sometimes I'm just like, huh?
I speak that there's like three lines where I'm like, what the fuck did you just say to me? But
I purposely switch things up all the time, though. Like, I'll just listen to it, but I'm a little man, and I'm also evil. I'm so into cats.
Yeah, true.
Well, that makes me smile. I don't have to think of any depressing lyrics or anything like that.
It's good.
And lastly, this is mostly for me. I don't know if you ever vibed with them or if anybody listening ever listened to them, but See You Next Tuesday is putting out a new album, and this is their first album in over a decade, and they are picking up where the last album left off. You hear the grandfather clock at the very end of the album that goes on for like 10 minutes.
Nice.
Well, the grandfather clock finally chimes, and now you get your new album.
Yay.
And overall, I was not really a big fan of Intervals. That album was not as good as Parasite was, but this is better than both of them. There seems to actually be some good musical composition. It's not just mayhem from start to finish.
I love to see it.
Chris Fox, the vocalist, puts a lot of his highs in there, like he normally does, but he incorporates some mids, some sort of squealiness at times, and some yells. Yeah. So it's more than just old See You Next Tuesday. It really shows that they progressed, they're adapting some new stuff, and maybe even other members are going to chime in with some stuff to help. There's only two songs out right now, so who knows what the rest of the album's going to entail? But this looks like it's going to be their best release so far.
Awesome. I love yelling.
I'm a hardcore fan, first and foremost. So I grew up with yelling instead of screams.
Yeah.
And I found out that there's bands that do like gutturals and screams. I was into that for a little bit. Faded away, went back to yelling. Yeah. And now I'm just like, you know, as long as it slaps and as long as it gets me pumped, I don't care.
Exactly. I'm trying to get you on some shit that you missed because everybody was like, "Oh, fucking lame, oh, elitism."
Yeah, I like missed out on like Neck Deep. I missed out on like the Front Bottoms.
Hell yeah!
I missed out on so many fucking bands that now I really enjoy. Exactly. Yeah, so if you have anything, I'm totally open to it. I'm a lot more open-minded nowadays than I was years ago.
Do you like Prince and Michael Jackson, but also Fall Out Boy?
Yeah.
Patrick Stump's solo record, Soul Punk, beautiful. It's amazing.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know he had a solo album.
Yeah, no, Zoe and I were listening to that, like, the other day, and we were like, why isn't Patrick Stump worked with The Weeknd yet? Because that would fucking slap.
Okay, maybe I'll check that out.
Yeah, absolutely.
How recent is it?
It's during the hiatus, so it's like...
Okay, so like the last...
10 years old now, at this point?
Okay, now, okay, yeah. Okay, I'm interested in that. I'll try to check that out tonight or tomorrow.
It's like 11, 12 years, yeah.
I mean, I got a 3-day weekend. I can check out new music all weekend.
Hell yeah. We'd love to see it.
Yeah. Me? A 3-day weekend? What?
Boo. It's awesome. We'd love.
Yeah. So there's a lot of music coming out. So I'm all over the place right now. Because not only did The Sound of Animals Fighting dropped some new stuff recently. They dropped a whole EP. They're doing a reunion tour. It's awesome. But HIM's frontman, Viu Valo, just dropped an album called Neon Noir. The whole album is incredible. I'm seeing them on April 2nd. I'm very excited. It's at Big Night Live in Boston.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I'm excited for that. Have you been to Big Night Live yet?
I haven't.
Oh, their bathrooms are amazing.
But
that's probably the only good thing about the venue. I don't know.
How big is it?
It's pretty big, but like, I don't know. I've heard different reviews of it. Not all.
I usually like to go to Roadrunner.
Roadrunner's really good. I like the House of Blues. I like Paradise. Paradise Rock Club is always great.
I don't like Paradise Rock Club as much, but Hawthorne Heights is coming to Paradise Rock Club. So I might just have to bite the bullet and say, you know what, in order to see one of my favorite rock bands,
yeah,
I might just have to bite the bullet and suck it up.
I saw Tiger's Jaw at Paradise, that was pretty cool.
Which era Tiger's Jaw?
Most recent, but they played all the hits, so.
Okay. I was going to say, if you were, like, there, like, at their peak of, like, when everybody was listening to them and shit, like,
no, I that ago, was at the, fucking, what's that place called? It's not, like, really a venue. It's, like, a room in, like, a old courthouse. Like, it was called something, and I don't remember what it was called.
Yeah, it's fine.
I haven't been there, apparently.
It's
in Boston. It starts with a C. If anybody remembers what that's called. It's like a ballroom, but it's not really a ballroom.
Huh.
The Continental. The Continental. Fuck.
I would have never guessed that.
I remembered it.
So I don't have any good transition for this, but I think it's time now. I think it's time for the main event.
We love the main event.
We put a question out there on all of our socials. We got some answers back. We wanted to ask everybody, what do you think is the greatest cartoon of all time? And we didn't give any criteria. We're like, whatever helps you decide this is good with us. And we got some feedback on TikTok. Beards and Vinyl said, Metalocalypse.
I mean, it's pretty good.
It's a great show.
It's a great
one
show.
One of the best? I don't think so.
Is it the best cartoon of all time? Well, if you ask Dr. Roxo, yes.
Justin Hackinson says, all of the Batman-style animated series.
Oh, yeah, okay, that's probably going to be that, you know, you're probably going to get that a lot.
Because
that's
Andrew
my pick.
Andrew Bewitt said, considering I grew up in the 80s, we had no real shortage of great cartoons. G.I. Joe, Dragon Ball Z, The Mask, Transformers.
Mask was really good.
Dylan Schroeder says, Dragon Ball Z, if you're counting anime.
Of course.
Lenore Len says Gargoyles.
Gargoyles was really good.
There's a whole
awesome
generation
picks
that has no idea about Gargoyles now.
I know. Fucking sucks.
Yeah.
And if they do make a new Gargoyles, everyone's going to be like, oh, go woke, go broke, fuck you.
Bruce Higgins said, that's hard, there were so many. I'm going to give you a couple. He said Thundercats, Ren and Stimpy, yeah. Mask, and Silverhawks.
Yeah. I didn't watch
Silverhawks. We have a couple more. We have Ryan Rowell says it would be Generation 1 Transformers.
G1 Transformers is really good, but you can't discount Beast Wars.
And Matt Duncan says, I could choose a favorite, but Gravity Falls is better than most I saw as a kid.
Gravity Falls is really good. I used to watch that with my friend that is no longer with us, Corey. Gravity Falls is really good. I like a lot of Transformers talks, a lot of Thundercats talks. And those are all really good. I watched a lot of Beast Wars.
Beast Wars is my favorite Transformers.
It's really good. It was the thing that introduced me to Transformers, actually. And then my dad was like, this is the Transformers I used to watch. And he showed me G1. And that was really cool. But
I used to watch Beast Wars on TV before or after I got home from school.
Hell yeah. It was Beast Wars, Dragon Ball Z. But the GOAT for me, Batman the Animated Series. That shit was the fucking best. I fucking, you just recently started watching that, right?
I tried dabbling into it, but you know how my mind works. I get distracted and forget about shit.
Yeah, well, so. 30-minute episodes. Pop any of them on. All of them are good. There's no misses.
What's your reasoning behind it? I know you really enjoy it, but if you had to give a reasoning to why it stands out over all the others.
It was just different. It wasn't like, here's the good guy, and, like, he's so good, and the bad guys are so bad, and, like, I don't know, it was, because I was a huge fan of the Tim Burton Batman movies growing up.
Oh, yeah, those are so good.
And this felt like that, but it was a cartoon, and I loved that.
Which one do you think is the best Tim Burton Batman one, just while we're on the topic?
I flip-flop between Returns and 89. I recently just read all of the new Batman 89 comic book, which is a sequel to Batman Returns. And, so good. But no, I just like Batman the Animated Series because it was doing something different. And it was telling, I don't know, stories that didn't insult, like, I know I was fucking three, but they didn't insult my intelligence.
You're just like, yeah, some dogs are brown. Fuck it.
That guy did commit a murder. but no, it was, I could enjoy it. My parents could enjoy it. It was something that they could put on that didn't annoy them because it was for everybody. There was stuff for them.
It was interesting enough for adults, but simple enough that kids could follow along.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And it jump-started my love of noir and my love of, like, detective stories and comic books. That all started with Batman the Animated Series. And it's my favorite to this day. I can pop on that show whenever.
R.I.P. Kevin.
R.I.P. Kevin Conroy. That sucks.
Was that this year or last year? I know it was around the same time, but
end of 2022.
Okay.
It also, like, I just saw Mark Hamill say that he'll probably never play Joker again because he doesn't want to do it without Kevin.
I knew it was later in the year, so I was like, did that happen late in the year, or was that early this year? Because this year was already a fucking shit show.
Oh, yeah, but no, it was, another great thing about Batman Animated Series is Mark Hamill, like.
Yeah.
Mark Hamill is fantastic in it, and
everything Mark Hamill touches is gold.
When I found that out, that blew my mind. Like, I was like, that's Luke Skywalker? No fucking way.
For me, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people can say that it's a great cartoon. I don't know how many people are going to say it's the best cartoon. For me,
I'm
going SpongeBob.
SpongeBob is great, actually. Yeah.
I said there's a couple reasons for it.
Yeah.
Personally, I think I've seen every episode besides like the ones that happened after like 2014 or so.
Right. Right.
Just because it was so like not consecutive. It was like we're gonna use two this year, and then like five next year, and then we're gonna skip a year and drop two more. It was hard for me to keep up with it, but it was running episodically every week. I was watching every episode. Mm-hmm. I remember almost every episode, mm-hmm. So I feel real confident in saying that a good reason for me to pick it is its impact and the timing that it came out.
That's fair.
I feel the uniqueness and the outlandishness of the cartoon helped fit it in with the old Nickelodeon cartoons. But yes. Then the fact that it was innocent and simple enough that the younger watchers that were finally getting to watch Nickelodeon because they were super young got sucked into it. And the jokes were not over the head of everybody, but...
That's fair.
They could help the parents appreciate everything while entertaining the kids. Very similar to how you said Batman was complex enough for the adults, but simple enough for the kids. Storytelling and the jokes and the humor used for SpongeBob is very much the same way. Nobody feels left out. Everybody feels included. But it's entertaining for all the ages that were watching it.
Exactly. I would have said SpongeBob, but for me... I don't know. I think it's just the scope of Batman the Animated Series, and it spawned an entire fucking universe.
Growing up, I was very into Batman, but I was also very much a Nickelodeon kid.
Yeah.
And now growing up, looking back at everything, a huge reason I feel like it's such an important thing is the characters are also very relatable.
Yes.
SpongeBob is happy-go-lucky, he's adventurous, and he's driven towards his goals. Like, how many fucking times are you going to try to get your boating license, not get it, and then come back at it with, like, the confidence of an Indian dude shooting his shot in your DMs?
Nah.
One of my favorite things to do. So, SpongeBob, happy-go-lucky, adventurous, and driven. Patrick, very similar, but more laid back and lives in the moment.
Yes.
Squidward is pretentious. He complains about everything. He's very much like your least favorite coworker.
It's fair.
Mr. Krabs, capitalist scumbag boss. I'm going to cut all the corners to save a dime. Sandy Cheeks, that one friend that's finally got their shit together. There's that one fish in the background that always complains about his leg.
My leg!
That's me. And Schmitty, Werber, Pinkerman, Jensen, you know, he was number one.
He was number one.
And also, this is really cool. I found this as I was trying to brainstorm, like, all the reasons. The ratings and run length achievement for SpongeBob.
Uh-huh.
It says, within its first month of being on the air... SpongeBob SquarePants overtook Pokemon as the highest rating Saturday morning children's series on television.
That's insane. Especially given how fucking popular Pokemon was at the time.
Yeah, that was my second choice, was Pokemon, like the OG.
Yeah.
Because of the cultural impact and everything. But it says the Nielsen rating of 4.9 among children aged 2 to 11.
4.9, that is a lot of viewers.
And then denoting 1.9 million viewers later on. It says 2 years later, the series firmly established itself as the Nickelodeon's second highest rating children's program after Rugrats.
Pokemon. Oh, shit.
But it way outlasted Rugrats.
I do be liking Rugrats, though.
And then once the new stuff started pumping out, it still dominated those, too, because they voted Fairly Odd Parents as one of the best new shows, but it still was only second to the still-running SpongeBob SquarePants.
That's awesome. Good for
SpongeBob. Also, it pretty much helped save Nickelodeon, because they were losing all their content from the creators pulling their stuff and not renewing their contracts. And with them hopping in there, they were just like, oh shit, now we have something to attach our wagon to. And Nickelodeon's still going strong this day.
That's fair. That's a good argument.
Yeah. I'm like, I know it's all based on opinion and stuff, but I was like,
it's all subjective.
I need to know, like, if what I'm thinking is true. So I'm like going in there and I'm checking out like details and specifics.
Exactly.
And I was like, bro, this is bigger than I thought it was. This is only further proving my opinion that I want to put out there.
Exactly. Oh my god, sorry about that.
It's all good. I burped like 50 times on this fucking podcast.
You gotta do your research. We do our due diligence here at the Just Plain Filthy podcast every time. We've never half-assed an episode of this shit. Ever. Once. Ever.
Honorable mentions, as I said, Pokemon, the first one. This is still the only gen that, like, everybody knows.
Yeah, true. True that.
Even, like, your, like, 60-year-old uncle is like, yo, is that a Pikachu?
My uncle fucking erased my game and ruined my 100, level 100 Charizard once. I was pissed.
That's when you put him in a box.
I never fucking forgot about it. Well, he asked to play my Game Boy on a plane ride.
Just like a Pidgey that you caught two of, you have to put that motherfucker in a box.
I never fucking forgot. I'm not mad about it, but I don't know. I just remember being so angry. It seems so superfluous now. But
I'm not mad about it, is what I tell people, so they don't expect the revenge they have coming.
Don't ruin it. But no, I'm not mad about it. But yeah, no, Pokemon makes my honorable mention, so does Rugrats, a bunch of shit, actually. Like, I don't know, like, Dragon Ball Z, I'm a huge fan of Dragon Ball Z.
Lastly, were you more of a Nickelodeon fan or a Cartoon Network fan?
When I lived in Texas, Nickelodeon. And then when I moved up here, Cartoon Network, because we got better cable when we moved up here and started living with my grandparents.
Yeah, I was a Nickelodeon fan across the board.
Yeah.
But overall, like, I also really, really liked Ed, and Eddie. I really liked that. And I really liked Powerpuff Girls.
Yeah, Powerpuff Girls is my shit.
Yeah, but I don't remember what it was on. I think it was TBS or something. I might be wrong. You remember Recess? How good that show fucking was?
Recess was dope. That was on Disney Channel.
Yeah, I forgot. They didn't have too many cartoons, so I didn't remember that much.
They had like Dave the Barbarian.
that fucking show.
Yeah, brother. Kim Possible.
Oh, yeah. Kim
the
Possible,
Proud Family.
I heard Kim Possible is the Disney Channel's number one animated thing they ever put out.
Yep. The Proud Family was really good. I love the Proud Family.
Oh, that was so good.
They did the Proud Family today, of course. Go Woke, Go Broke.
That's pretty much anything from back then. They did that now.
We do anything. It's all woke. But I just got a bone to pick.
It just seems like a constant theme lately.
It's
so.
In my entire fucking life. I wake up every day and somebody's fucking complaining about something stupid.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm so happy that like we got to grow up with such great cartoons.
Same.
And then now like we even have ways to go back and check them out.
Exactly.
As a like, streaming
that's,
and stuff.
I,
like,
that's so great. I
as bad
love
as the world
most.
Is, the fact that we have access to the things that made us happy and it still holds up makes me eternally happy.
Exactly. I mean, that was part of the point of the diatribe that I went on in the group chat like the other day. There are uses for streaming platforms, social media, this podcast we do right now. There are uses for all of these things, but we have to sort of Because the point I was trying to make is that there's too much demand for content. There's too much demand for instant access to everybody all the time. Everybody all the time. I need everybody all the time.
Oh, that's in my brain, because that's how my brain works.
Yeah, well, I've been watching you go through that, and that's a big point I was trying to make, was like, make content when you want to make content. Make art when you want to make art. Analytics and all that. We need to slow down this internet machine. But, again, one of the great uses of the internet is being able to watch all our old favorite cartoons. And, I mean, it's great. A lot of people say nostalgia is a bad thing. But I don't think so. Especially if we... I don't know. If you do it right. But it's been nice talking about these old cartoons.
Lastly, for me, just because that brought me up to this, I still have a bone to pick. I got Paramount Plus specifically for the fact that I wanted to go back and watch Adventures of Pete and Pete.
Yep.
And then, as I did that, I found out that days prior, they removed all episodes of Pete and Pete.
Oof. Are you having trouble canceling your account?
No, I kept it because it also has everything that Tanya watches on it.
Yeah, I just and, got rid of mine.
And I can watch like Fantasy Factory and Robin Big and all these old Comedy Central shows.
Oh, that's true.
So I'm keeping it for that. But
My parents have it. Oh, yeah, sorry.
But I get to watch old episodes of SpongeBob, which is my number one.
Nice.
And... a lot of the episodes of Pete and Pete are available on YouTube, so...
That's fair.
I can just deal with it at that point. Exactly. It's not that much money.
Exactly. Yeah, I just had to get rid of mine because I can't fucking pay that shit. It took...
Yeah, understandable.
...the money out of my account that I didn't have, and it put me in a negative, which I didn't even know you could do with the type of bank account that I have. You're not supposed to be able to do that. They fucking found a way.
Just Kevin Hart it. The way my bank account is set up.
Yeah, no. The way my bank account is set up, you're not supposed to be able to do that. So I asked for a little bit of money from my mom, and the money went in as the other money came out, and I was still in the negative, and I was like,
"Oh!"
I was like, no! That shit sucked.
Is there anything you want to plug before we just end this? Because I did a plug earlier. I still need to do some plug-in. But is there anything you want to put out there?
Not yet.
Not yet?
Okay.
In time,
I will have things to plug.
Just like we do this podcast every Friday, every other Friday, the corresponding Fridays, I like to drop something on Spotify called the Indie Movement Podcast.
Hell yeah.
We feature a handful of matches and break them down with what I like, what I disliked, the cool parts of the matches, and we plug three upcoming shows per episode. The next episode I will be recording sometime this weekend and backlogging it because I am going on vacation.
Vacation!
So I'm going to drop it before we leave for vacation, just so I don't have to worry about recording or finding a way of doing anything while I'm down in Florida with my sister. I'm going to just pretty much disconnect and only be on there to talk to people and not making content.
Hell yeah.
I am going crazy right now, just backlogging all these video projects and podcasts and recordings and stuff so I can plug at a whim and not worry about shit. So definitely check out anchor.fm/indie movement podcast. You can check out the Indie Movement Podcast on Spotify, and we also upload it to the Indie Movement YouTube every Friday when it comes out.
Hell yeah.
You can check out Just Plain Filthy on Twitter and Instagram at JPF Podcast, and on Facebook, facebook.com/justplainfilthy.
Back on Facebook.
Thank you guys for sticking around with us, talking about wrestling, music, and cartoons. Tune in next time, see what we got in store for you. Thank you for listening.
Deuces.